Hello, this is Pastor Woods. I want to talk to you today about taking up my cross and following Jesus. Easter's over for another year. The chocolate bunnies and eggs and candy have all been eaten or put away. Now we can settle back for a long, hot summer. We remember the crosses that we saw and the reminders of the empty tomb. We rejoice that our Savior is alive forevermore, but what impact is that supposed to make on us as individuals? We're not supposed to just be spectators admiring the pains that Jesus went through to save us. We're supposed to be participants with Christ in God's plan of salvation. We each have a cross that Jesus told us to take up and follow Him. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you'll give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Billy Graham once said, when Jesus said, "If you're going to follow me, you have to take up a cross," it was the same as saying, "Come and bring your electric chair with you," or "Take up the gas chamber and follow me." Jesus didn't have a beautiful gold cross in mind or a cross on the church steeple or on the front of your Bible. Jesus had in mind a place of execution. And he was talking about dying out to your own selfish desires and letting God's plans take over your life. Oh my, just a second. Hello. Hello, who is it? And you want to talk to me? I'm in the middle of a broadcast here, a podcast. But you want to talk to me about cross bearing? Well, you know, I don't understand why you're calling right now. Can you call later? I'm kind of busy. Oh, you knew I was making a podcast, and you called me anyway. Well, who is this? Who did you say? Jesus? Jesus? Like in God? And you want to talk to me about cross-bearing? Well, I've been wanting to speak to you about a few things, too. By the way, is this long distance? Who's paying for this call? My church board wants me to go easy on spending money. What did you say? Don't worry about it because there's bigger things to think about than money. I suppose there are. Well, now that you've called, I want you to know I've been thinking about trading my cross in for another one. Maybe one that's more convenient. Oh, no, sir, I'm not thinking about deserting you or your kingdom. I still intend to take up my cross and follow you, but sometimes my cross seems a little bit rough and heavy and gets in the way. Other people seem to have it easier than I do, and I want what they have. I wish my cross wasn't so rugged and full of barbs and splinters. If you only knew how people stare at me while I carry that old thing around. There's a lot of places where I just don't fit in. It's awkward. What's that? I know the cross you carried to Calvary was heavy and rough, but that was 2,000 years ago, Lord. Those kinds of crosses aren't accepted as much today as they were then. I'm living in the 21st century. Things have changed a lot. What did you say? Your cross wasn't accepted either. It was a shameful thing to be executed on a cross. I guess I hadn't thought about the shame that you had to bear. I'm sorry. I should have been more sensitive about that. Look, I still want to bear a cross for you, but does it have to be so rough and heavy? Have you thought that you might win more converts to your kingdom if the crosses were a little more comfortable? People aren't too keen on this take up your very heavy and rugged cross and follow me stuff. I think more people might buy into this cross thing if the crosses were a lighter construction and covered with, say, vinyl, so there wouldn't be so many barbs and slivers. Think about it. With vinyl, you can make designer crosses with different colors and different weights, and I'm sure it would catch on. Who knows? Cross-bearing might catch on and become a real fad. Can you imagine the economic boost that you could give to the average church as they sold new and improved vinyl crosses? You're saying you're not trying to start a fad? Besides, a church isn't supposed to depend on selling crosses or having fundraisers. The members of the church are supposed to support the work with their tithes and offerings. Well, yes, Lord, I know they're supposed to tithe, but do you know how big 10% looks with all the other bills and expenses that we have? I remember your promise. You promised to take care of us if we tithed, if we sought first your kingdom and looked to you. In Malachi 3:10, you say, well, it says there, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, that would be you, the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Well, yes, Lord, but isn't that Old Testament? What did you say? It is, but the Old Testament promises are still in effect. I didn't realize that. Besides, the New Testament says what? You said to look up Luke 6:38. Give and you'll receive. Your gift will be returned to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Wow, Lord, that sounds like what happened at my garbage can this week. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Sorry, Lord, that does sound mundane to the subject that we're discussing. I don't want to miss your lesson here. I think you said, if a garbage can illustrates what I'm saying, how much more your promises will hold in my life. Now, Jesus, I know a cross stands for a commitment to God. A cross isn't just a fashion statement. I know that. And that's why you said in Matthew 7:13-14, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. I would think that you want everyone to get to heaven after the horrible price that you had to pay for our souls. It seems you would lighten their crosses and widen the gate so more people could get in. What's that? That's not your plan, because sinful hearts will ruin the new heaven just like sin ruined the old heaven. Only those who confess their sins and allowed you to sanctify them wholly, have their lives set apart for your holy use, and are living obedient, holy lives will enter heaven. Is that why you also said in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name, performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Well, aren't you discriminating against most of the earth's population with that kind of criteria? You're saying they're all welcome. They just have to make the decision to accept what you've done for them on that old rugged cross and confess their sins to you and their needs of a Savior. Well, no offense, Lord, but I'd still like to have a cross that's not quite as heavy and so demanding of my time. What do you have that would better suit me and my needs? If you won't buy into my vinyl crosses, you certainly could find something a little more comfortable for me. Maybe I could trade my cross for a smaller model that's not so hard to carry, something a little more decorative, a little more vogue. I hate it when I have to tell people I can't participate in certain activities they want me to participate in because I have to carry my cross around and it just doesn't fit into their activities. Maybe you have something I could hide under my shirt so people won't have to know I'm a cross-bearing Christian. How about a jewel cross that I could wear? You know, a pin or some kind of a decoration or something. I mean, flaunting my Christian experience sometimes chases people off. I want to live my life without looking like a fanatic and making everyone think I'm judging them. People just don't like that. After I get to know them better, then I can let them know that I serve you. But until then, I would like to participate in their activities so they'll like me better, and later I can witness to them about my close relationship with you. It wouldn't hurt to have a beer with them once in a while or to go to Hooters for chicken wings. When they knew what a neat person I am, I'll have a bridge to use to reach them. You know, I could let my light shine wherever I went and they'd know I was a Christian. I wouldn't have to be embarrassed or embarrass them. What did you say? Read Matthew 10:32-33. Oh, that says, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Well, yes, but Lord, this is 2023, and you're so straight-laced. I think we'd get more converts if we were more like the world and entered into more of their activities. You know, make them comfortable with who you are so that they'll listen to the gospel. There are just too many old-fashioned rules, and they're chasing people away. And another thing, what about this 100% commitment that you want from me? Don't I have a right to decide certain things myself? I mean, it's my life. Maybe if I just give you 90% and hold 10% back for what I want to do. What is that? You gave 100% on the cross for me, so why should I give you any less than 100%? You want me to check out Romans 12, 1 and 2? Okay. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Well, let me think about that for a while, God. 100% seems like an awfully lot to give to you when the world has so much excitement, so much fun to offer. Don't you think I might miss out on a lot of if I give you 100%? I mean, I'll still come to church, and I'll still try to live a decent life, but I don't want to live by your rule if it's, you know, the rule that says if it's fun, don't do it. You know what I mean? Actually, I think the best plan would be for Christians not to act like holy rollers. Maybe just wear a cross on a chain or get a piercing and put a cross on my ear. Or maybe a real nice tattoo would show people that I'm a Christian. Lord, where are you? Did we get cut off? Did you hang up or something? Now, where do you suppose he's gone? Well, I'll hang up my phone too. You know, too many people who call themselves Christians are doing just as I portrayed on this phone call. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from among the unbelievers and separate yourselves from them," says the Lord. "Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you." Christians and the church have lost their relevance to the world because we aren't picking up our cross and following Jesus. We have compromised our convictions for so many years that people don't see any difference between most Christians and society, which we are supposed to reach. Every organization has rules. God's rules are there to help us, not to steal away our fun. God is not a cosmic joy killer. Our lives are fulfilled when we obey Him. It's like driving. Stay between the lines. The lines are your friends. Well, God gives us certain rules that if we will follow them, we will be more fulfilled. We will be able to enjoy life more, and we will know that we have eternity with Him waiting for us in heaven. Sin may seem fun for a while, but soon sin turns into guilt and agony and death. The happiest people I know are true Christians serving God with all their hearts. Too many people today who call themselves Christians are living like Satan, by Satan's rules rather than God's rules. And what a surprise they will have at judgment when they stand before the throne of God and Jesus will say to them, "Depart, I never knew you." The problem is, once you let go of a conviction, you'll never get it back. A short definition of sin is selfishness. Is God running your life, or is selfishness running your life? If you're running your life with self in charge rather than God, you're on the wrong road. You need to repent and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you and ask God, please, to help you to be able to find His complete plan. Dear Jesus, I pray that You help us each one to learn that God's ways are best ways. That I know the world seems to have a lot to offer, but the wages of sin is death. And God, we can complain and we can do all kinds of things about why we don't want to live a life committed to You. But Father, we know that the only way that's going to be a success and the only way that's going to get us to heaven is to confess our sins to Jesus Christ, to accept You as our Lord and Savior, and to live a life pleasing to You so You can bless us over and over again. I pray for those that have listened to this broadcast today that they will realize they need to give their hearts and lives completely to You. And those who already have, they need to shore up their convictions, their lives, so they glorify You in everything they do and say. Help us today. You know the needs that are out there, and I pray You'll help each one of us today to find that peace that only Jesus can give. Now, Father, I do pray that You'll bless this broadcast and You'll use it for Your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me by calling me at 623-845-2741, or you can text me at that same phone number, or you can try to get a hold of me with my Gmail. It's lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. Or you can write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. God bless you. I hope that you'll find the peace that only Jesus Christ can give. We'll talk to you later.